you there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside, there was something going on. You do something to me that I can't explain. Hold me closer and I feel no pain. Every beat of my heart, we've got something going on. Always love we feel needs no conversation. We ride it together, aha, making love with each other, aha. Islands in the stream, that is what we are. No one in between, how can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world, and we rely on each other.
Mildly accurate history of Wales, the hosts on lagers, Sam on ales, having banter, telling tales, discussing the future of the podcast's merchandise sales.
Oh,
Tales for Wales and Chris IT, three lads from the Vale, make history. Don't tell your mums, lock up your daughters, you might capsize in these tidal waters. Let's have a look at what went down in the fabulous land of Barry Town.
Oh, ooh, I love it. Excellent, that's a shame.
I've learned from the best. I've been listening to you, obviously, too much.
Insert round of applause, Sam.
Earhorn, that's what I want.
Beep, do you want to tell us the moving and probably award-winning story for us in terms for our awards folder, why that was extra special?
Securing the pod Oscars, come on. Yeah.
Oh, what, because of my grandfather?
Yeah. Just thought if we get this on record, we can send off Davis. Yeah.
This is your X-Factor moment, mate, okay? Come on, don't batch it now.
It's a little bit weird, actually. So my grandfather used to go round and he was an amateur historian in Barry. And he used to do this thing, like a talk, called Bells and Smells of Barry. So we used to, like, take certain things in for people to, like, smell. But he would talk about different churches and bells and, like, old buildings.
Absolutely love that. He
was proper old school. Like, for me, when he used to talk about it when I was a kid, it was like, wow, that seems really boring. But we did actually get to go up into the dock offices and have a look. Yeah. There's a massive bell in there.
It does sound like you're saying bell end every
I was
time.
About to say, my childishness cannot excuse it. Every time it's a massive bell.
Grow up, boys.
Well, the reason we've got Chris IT or Sam on, you'll know from the title that we've got Chris IT on. I call you Sam. You're not just your merchandise. But Sam runs a Welsh clothing company that is very... very cool for us that we're collabing with, and we're going to be releasing, I think, three t-shirts.
Three t-shirts,
will be on sale as soon as you hear this episode. So as soon as you hear it, head to chrisit.com. I probably should have checked.
.Cymru, actually.
.Cymru, yeah. Because we're proud.
Of course it was.
Because we're proud of it.
Yeah, that was a trick question. We knew it was coming all along. We just wanted to plug the country.
just had to point it out that we are .Cymru.
We've also got on board the internet hype. We finally got ourselves a website. What does he say
interweb.
In Peep Show? Hans has got his hands on a domain. So we've also got ourselves a website now, which should be live by now, but it might not be. It's one of our crook mates making it for us.
The thing is, the website is fairly new, and we're still working out the kinks. We don't know how to sort of get on there yet.
You're going to be officially on the line, is it? Yeah.
Mate, we'll be so on the line. You won't even... All the WWs, all the dots, mate.
But don't give Mark Zuckerberg permission to use my image. But about that, go wild.
Facebook Karen.
We've got some really sick merchandise coming out. I say merchandise is the wrong word. We've got some really nice tops coming out. And the genius that is Chris IT has made them. in collaboration with ourselves. So they're Welsh themed, obviously. They're history themed. There's a absolute sick Owenglyn Dwd one, which
is unreal. It looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with that one. Actually. It was hanging on the garage wall where I am at the moment.
Honestly, mate, when Frank showed me the sort of the design of that, I was like, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think it was going to be that good. You know,
so he does look OG.
He does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's class.
We're also heading up to visit your studio to film, to show the printing office in work. That'll be quite fun. And we'll put that on our socials. But we're also, and in the link of this episode, you'll find a link to Sam's website where you can order. And if you join the Patreon, we'll give you a specific link so you get a bit of money off.
Sneaky little discount,
Nice.
So but in honour of that, and in honour of this joint collaboration, we thought we'd go back to the roots where all three of us have ties to Barry, where all of us went to the same school, I believe.
No, I didn't actually go to Ysgol
Y Fro. You didn't go to Bro McGannog? I thought...
No, I'm old school. I'm showing my age now. I was the last but one year to go to Glantav. All the way.
Right. So you were a Vale boy that they shipped off to the Cardiffian school, was it? So
basically, I was one of the Barry ruffians who used to get the bus all the way from. Yeah. Well, the people used to go all the way from Roos to Llandaff. Yeah.
So my brother
it
did
was
that.
Madness.
And it's like, it's like when they used to send criminals to Australia, isn't it? Same sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
Ship you out. Like,
it is insane, though, because so Vale of Glamorgan, massive place that covers like Barry all the way to Llantwit Major, like a big area of land. The only Welsh-speaking school was in Cardiff, so people had to catch, like, how long was your bus to get there in the morning?
Oh, it was at least 45 minutes every day.
I was going to say, it must be a trek, yeah.
And if people used to go from Roos as well, or the island, all the way to Llandaff. But the funny thing was, they came from the other end, so they went from Llanrymney as well. So I had mates who used to live like an hour and a half away.
It's a mess.
It was mad.
Not conducive for sleepovers, was it?
Like, it was a nightmare for my mum and dad.
Your mates or anything. Like, my brother went. My sister went to Glantav. My brother went to Plasmoud, and I went to Bro McGannog because we were all aged at different things. So my mum had to go to three separate school evenings in three separate schools. Nightmare. But it was like, and my brother's bus was like with traffic was always an hour. It was always getting him an hour to get there. But me and Jack went to school in Barry. We went to Bro McGannog. But we've all got an affinity to the place, and we thought it's not really a place you imagine a huge amount of history has gone down, but it's had like a busy population for over 1,000 years of pilgrims and like coal industries and ghostly stories, which I'll be talking about. So we thought we'd both, well, all three of us would come with two stories each about Barry Town and Barry Massive.
Yeah.
So, would anyone
if I wasn't going to talk about anything else, if I'm totally honest, like if you ask any of my mates, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, well he's going to talk about Barry."
Yeah, he's like, you had the brief, and that's that. Well, you're not going to go outside it. It's done.
No.
Do you want to start? I wanted to.
Go on in. Okay, yeah, cool. The biggest town in Wales.
Sorry. I hate to interrupt. We haven't done our cliched thing of what we're all drinking.
Of course. This is important as well.
Cause
this is important.
Yeah.
We're nothing if we don't have our traditions, are we?
I think, well, Sam, do you want to start with yours?
My drink?
Yeah.
I am going full on anti. What was the episode when you had Jake on and you were like, oh, yeah, people drinking all this crap with notes of hibiscus? Well, I'm starting.
Fennel.
Yeah. I'm that guy, okay? I'm full on hipster. I am drinking a Club Tropica IPA, and then I've got a couple more IPAs, and I will even finish on a sour.
I hate sours so
much. I'm the ultimate. I'm your basically the end of the spectrum, the other end of the spectrum.
I was about to say, mate, you're the ultimate Welsh boy for this, because the Club Tropica, a beautiful Welsh brewery as well.
Oh yeah, I'm supporting the whole country all the time. It's running off my back basically.
I mean, it makes sense that you'd have those drinks because you're quite cool and you have a clothing company and you're stylish, so you're allowed to have what I would call wank lager, whereas me and Jack are allowed piss lager. We're allowed.
You get a piss lager pass from us, right? It's official.
Thank you very much. I feel honoured. I do feel honoured.
And what are you having, Jack?
I'm on the San Migs tonight, another beautiful Welsh brewery.
The Smeagles. Yeah.
The Smeagles. Yeah. Very apt for me at the moment, to be fair. Me and Frank have just come off an absolute bend of a weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm only just feeling human again. And so I'm very much a Smeagle.
We had drinks last night when we met up, and I only had the one, but you had a few more, and I had drinks for the Wales game on Tuesday. So I'm actually having a 0% Heineken. Can you? I bought six of them.
Wow.
I know. Big, isn't it? But
that's
but
a letdown.
Well, I have got a bottle of... I love shit lager. I also love the shittest whiskey you could get. So I've got apple flavored Jack Daniel's whiskey, and when you add it to Pepsi, it tastes like apple tango. So I'm gonna have a couple of beer free alcohols, because I'm just trying to cut back a little bit. And once I finish the next one, and then onto the.
I was gonna say,
just to ease just yourself in.
Skip straight to the apple whiskey is what I say.
I've had these Heineken 0% are actually refreshing. Yeah, it's actually quite nice.
Just stop. This isn't you talking. This isn't at Frank's eye. No,
it must
quite
have been
refreshing.
A really heavy,
actually,
heavy
come
weekend.
On,
like,
yeah,
it really was.
Bad,
like,
we have to do a great reset.
That's the only reason I'm not hanging up on this call immediately is because I was there on the weekend. I know how brutal
it was.
Yeah, I saw it firsthand what happened, like watching a car crash.
Yeah,
And I was involved in said car crash myself.
Yeah, I mean, we were the joint drivers in the same car crash. No, we weren't bad. We had like full-on 48 hours of nothing but booze.
But like just not non-stop, wasn't it? And you were great on the second day. You're not usually a second-day boy, but you were perking me up all the way through right until I couldn't walk anymore. And that was great.
Where did you actually go?
We went to Banbury to go watch some lower league football.
Right, okay, yeah.
They call it the Golden Coast of England, don't they? Yeah.
and we went to like a. I love going to like provincial towns because I love how shit their nightclubs are. And we went to one nightclub called Fever. And we kept saying, fever. She gives you fever, dumb. This shit.
We were
drinking
Smirnoff Ices at one point. There's pictures to prove it. I didn't believe it at first.
You can have a lot of fun in that kind of place, though, can't you? Just find the niche and then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was really... Yeah. It was such a fun weekend. And then the next day, we were off to go watch Banbury Town. And I got giddy with excitement. And
the Puritans, mate.
Yeah,
call them the Banbury Puritans. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll get way late. And that could take us too far away from tonight's
heavy
topic. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Topic.
This is meant to be Barry focused. Yeah. Come on. We'll do Barry focused.
Back to Sam. Talk to us about the mighty Barry.
Ah, right. Yes. So, Barry. Barry's actually the biggest town in Wales.
Oh.
Arguably the best. Don't at me. I'm going to get loads of jip from that probably in the future. Like, no, it's not. Yeah. But it derives from a guy called St. Barrick.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I actually went to that primary school in Barry,
but
I didn't know anything about this guy, who was apparently a bit of an idiot. He made one mistake and it killed him. So, he was a 6th century...
Can happen to the best of us, mate.
He was a 6th century Celtic saint and a disciple of Saint Cadoc. So there is a little place in Barry called, it's not that little, called Caddoxton. Mm. And he founded a monastery about 7 miles away from Barry. So Barrick was a follower of him. And one day, as you do, they set sail for Flatholm. So Flatholm, you can see from the barrage and from Barry.
And a member of the Flatholm Society, £15 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that get you?
Well, you get to volunteer over there, so you get to go stay for the weekend and like clean up shrubbery and stuff like that.
Bet you do that all the time, don't you?
Well, I wish. I really want to, but you're not allowed dogs there, so I can't get a dog sitter. And they tell you about a day before. They're like, we're off to the island. And I've not been able to go, and I've been a patron saint for 2 years now.
Hey, tell me when you're part of the Barry Island Society then, mate. Right? That's the only time I'll be interested.
Harder to get into, I think. the two of them set sail from Flatholm to Barry Island. Now, I've seen a couple of different stories apparently there's no kind of medieval blog that you can just read as a reputable source.
Especially in Wales, we're absolute buggers for not writing a fucking thing down. We just don't bother.
Crap at history until now, obviously, with this podcast.
Main reason we got the pod, mate, in a thousand years, they'll be going, thank God for those Tales of Wales boys. They logged everything down.
Not the Amgueddfa Cymru or anything like that. They'll just
sod those bureaucrats, mate. So we're doing the real stuff.
Listen to the real deal. Unfortunately, he made the mistake of forgetting to pack his master's holy book like an absolute tool. Proper idiot.
Fool.
So on arrival at Barry Island, Carrick discovered Barrick's error, flew into an unholy rage, what I read, which isn't very cool for a man of his kind of stature, obviously.
It's like for a man of the cloth being unholy angry.
It's like, what are you supposed to be again? Oh, yeah, not that. So
didn't Christ teach temperance? Come on.
come on, dude, you're forgetting who you are. Sent him back to collect this book. And unfortunately, en route, his boat was capsized in the very choppy Bristol Channel, and he died, which is sad. So did Caddock's book, or that was what they thought. So this is where the story gets really juicy and even more believable. So I heard this from a reputable source. Caddock was sitting on top of a hill and watched Barrick basically capsize and drown in the boat, losing the book with him. And then he, you know, gets over it almost immediately apparently. He just goes, oh, well, that's a shame. I've lost my book and I've lost this guy who was following me around. Sorry, I'm stuttering a little bit because I'm absolutely freezing in my garage at the moment.
You did look so cold.
For the listeners, before we started this as well, Sam went like, even my beer's got a jacket, and he had a little beer cozy in the shape of a jacket on his can, and we thought that was very cute.
It's just to save my hands because it's absolutely freezing. The roof is frozen on the inside, which is...
You did look like you were about to like walk somewhere in Antarctica. Yeah. You looked kitted up for that.
Yeah, and apparently not kitted up enough. because I'm still shivering. He goes, oh, right, well, that's a shame. He's dead and I've lost my book. I'm hungry. And then he sent some guys to go and get some to go fishing for him. But then they went to the beach and they found a salmon on the beach washed up. And guess what was inside the salmon?
The book.
True story, bro.
These saints, they do play fast and loose with their recollections, don't they?
Oh, I found your book, mate. Yeah, oh, it was. Oh, inside a salmon. Now, a couple of things I don't like about this story, because number one, is a salmon going to swallow the book? But also, I'm not sure if there's that many salmon in the Bristol Channel in the first place.
Any salmon at the Thames, that's absolute hog.
I doubt it, so it was apparently free from all injury by water, so he got his book back.
Lucky for Cardog,
Well, yeah, he's nailed it there. But
salmon had his back, fair play.
Basically, that's the story. And then, well, lots of pilgrims then would go to St. Barrick's Church on Barry Island, and one of those four of those would equate to one pilgrimage to Rome. So basically, if you did four of those pilgrimages, it would be the same. I don't know where from.
Is that a bit like St. David's, isn't it? That was something similar. Isn't it?
That's like a
two of them. That's Rome.
Like swapsies in Pokemon card.
But
you can still see like the building, can't you? At the top, like up by Jackson, by Jackson's Bay. You can still go see St. Barrick's Church up there.
Yeah, I can't actually remember where it is, but I'm sure.
I went there the other day, and it's all barred off. But it's at the very top of like Jackson's Bay. If you have a dog, like lots of people go to Jackson's Bay because you have a dog there the entire time. And there's like these old It's like, it looks like a barn, but it's an old church that's, I don't know why they've cornered it off. It's got like a fence all around it, but you can see through it, and it's got a little like plaque that tells you about it and stuff.
Apparently that's where he was buried, wasn't it? Old Barrack. That's where they actually buried him.
Maybe that's why it's called.
He also, so I was saying to Franks earlier, right? He sent me over after I'd done like half my notes. He sent me, oh, Sam's doing this, these subjects. And when you said sent Barrack, I was like, fuck's sake, because I'd done my notes on Barrack, right? So I was like, right, sorry, I'll do a replacement, no worries. But then me and Franks, we always say on this, whenever there's saints, right, I always like to look into what miracles they did to acquire sainthood.
Right.
Because they're often, like, 9 times out of 10, right, if you just said water or, like, a well, you're probably going to 90% chance you're going to get it. You're going to get it right. Because basically they all did healing wells, which basically in the 6th century just meant clean water. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I've been drinking shitty water for weeks. I've got the fucking squits. I start drinking normal water, I'm okay. Oh,
all of a sudden I'm better. Yeah, but,
Exactly, yeah. So I looked into what St. Barrack's miracle was. How did he get his sainthood? And so he actually messed with the formula a little bit. So he did have a healing well, of course, they all do. But his well, apparently, if you went to his little magic well, you dropped an offering in, made a wish, and then stayed silent until a stranger spoke to you, the wish would come true. Ooh. So you get two miracles for the price of one well with this boy. I don't know how you could corroborate that possibly, but just like the salmon, I'm pretty sure it's fucking really true.
yeah, it's got to be.
Definitely true. As a people who grew up in Barry, I bet not many people actually know. Like, it's so the town's named after him. But yeah, well, if he went up to like Flatholme as well, that channel in between is like crazy dangerous. Like, if you go out to Sully Island, which if you get caught in the tide there, the undercurrent's like really dangerous for it. So I feel a bit bad for him on his little boat, his rickety boat, going to get his master's book.
I was going to actually bring this up. I'm not sure if you've looked at this kind of fact about Barry or the Bristol Channel at all, but it's got the second highest tidal range in the world.
I did see that, but literally while I was doing my notes, I didn't know that beforehand. But isn't it like the only one that's got bigger is like somewhere in Canada or something?
Yeah, that's it. And it's basically almost 15, or I think it is 15 meters. So the difference between the high tide, well, a spring high tide and a spring low tide is 15 meters, like, difference.
Can you imagine, like, a cat dog going, like, you forgot my books. They've only just made it over. And you go, you forgot my fucking books. You have to go back. And I just picture him looking out into the sea, these massive waves going, and going, you're going to have to go back, get my fucking books, mate. And I go, oh, okay. Well,
the problem is, it's like basically sailing on a treadmill. If you've ever been like sailing on the Bristol Channel at all, if you get it wrong, it's basically you're going 7 miles per hour wherever it decides. So like if you fell in the Bristol Channel, an hour later you could be 7 miles down, you know, south or north or whatever. It's really kind of really fast and it's really tricky. So yeah, poor guy. Oh, I forgot my book.
I was gonna say, but if you need your books, though, innit, you gotta jump in. You gotta
have your books. Yeah. Unlucky.
Poor Barrack. Poor boy.
Should I jump in next with my one, which is
go for it, man.
I'll start off with you know, Geralt Cymro, Gerald of Wales. We mentioned him a few times. He's the first person to write down Welsh history, and he was like around the Norman period. He came
basically
to
the first like travel book, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did like a Lonely Planet of Wales, which was like kind of helpful for us. He said, not far from Cerdiff is a small island situated near the shore of the Severn called Barry, from St. Barrack, who formerly lived there, and whose remains are deposited in a chapel overgrown with ivy, having been transferred to a coffin. From hence, a noble family of the maritime parts of South Wales who owned this island and the adjoining estates received the name of De Barry. So, like, Jack, if you were from a Norman period and you were the Norman lord, you'd be called Jack De Barry. So that's how you get those names. And he goes on to describe the island really well because he spent a lot of time there. And he said, it is remarkable that in a rock near the entrance of the island, there is a small cavity to which, if the ear is applied, a noise is heard like the smiths at work, or the blowing of bellows, or strokes of hammers, grinding of tools, and the roars of a furnace. and it may easily be imagined that these such noises, which are continued at the ebb and flow of the tides, were occasioned by the influx of the sea into the cavities of the rock. So what you're saying is, like, if you hear these, you might think they're the noise of a smith at work, or you could hear like these kind of quite ghostly noises, but it's just the tide coming in and the waves splashing against the rock.
He's quite the fluffy writer, old Gareth, didn't he?
But he's also well travelled and he knew his stuff. But many locals who hadn't been so well travelled or knowledgeable, they thought these noises are ghosts of like certain people, or something more sinister. And one such thing is they thought it was ghosts of a local hero called Benedict the Ovid, or in English, Benedict the Fighter. Devothel, sorry. And it said that his ship, the Tamlin, was once overrun by pirating Spaniards. I love the term Spaniard. It feels so like evocative. Mm. You absolute Spaniard. Anyway, these Spaniards boarded his ship and they snuck in at night, murdering his crew as they slept in their beds, going around like slicing throats and all that stuff. Until one awoke to see a huge pirate scimitar come crashing down on his face. And he let out this final wretched scream to awake old Benedict. So Benedict leaped into action and he single-handedly fought and killed the entire body of pirates. He started off like doing Assassin's Creed Black Flag style, where he was like jumping off things, slitting throats, toppling pirates overboard.
I thought you were going to say with like the 10 flintlock pistols, you know, taking out the fucking deck.
No, so he went on sneakily getting rid of them one by one until he was caught. And then he had to go to hand-to-hand combat with his entire pirate crew. But he managed to survive and he disposed of the pirates and their skullduggery. And he managed to sail his ship back to port in Barry all on his own, which is like incredibly hard to do.
I was not expecting one of the last genres I thought we'd dip into in Barry Island talk. I didn't know there was pirates afoot.
Yeah, and like Sam was saying, it's a really bad tide to come into, it can be. But when he came back in, he was like, lauded this hero, and people like loved him from there, and they had loads of stories about him. But then he that was like the one thing that made him famous. But he also went back on loads of different voyages, and it's rumored that he went on these things to keep like revenge for his crew that was slaughtered. So he's out there actively hunting pirates. So he'd try and rally up men to come join him, and he'd go actively hunting down pirates around the Bristol Channel. And that was
just
like,
on the lookout, like
there they are, and like that's an area that was prone to piracy. Well, people were not prone to piracy, but prone to lots of ships leaving because of the slave trade coming from Bristol going down to Africa. That would often be where pirates would get some boats.
This is the thing, it's like you've got to really know the waters around there. So if you get it, if you purposely make somebody get it wrong, then it's probably quite easy to just have it smash on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Smash on the rocks and then you pillage anything that's, you know,
I was about to say, when you're saying about that whole like 7 mile an hour thing, no matter what, you've got to know exactly where you're going. If you manage to get someone sort of caught in that against the tide, if you like, they're going to be so slow, you could probably just pick them off, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Well, yeah, they're going to be stuck. Like.
However, he met his watery grave when he was caught in a great storm, during which his ship was irreparably damaged and sank to the bottom of the ocean. But Barry locals who believe the legend of Benedict claim that he's still the defender that lingers on the rocks at night, and he's protected them ever since from foreign invaders. So lots of people think the reason Barry's never been invaded since is because old Benedict is going around with his swashbuckling ways.
Just keeping us Barryans safe, like, from all
tucked up a true night. Barry hero, I like it.
I never heard of him before.
No, same, I never heard of that.
This is the good thing about, like, kind of, you know, knowing that we were going to talk about Barry. I've had a look into it, and I've been like, oh, whoa, hang on a minute, that's cool, this is different. And
that's what we do every week on this.
Like, I was about to say, this podcast, mate, is, you know, when we started, we were like, I know the Battle of Bryngelas, I know one other thing, and that was it. And then it's like, every week, we're like, oh my God, can you believe this happened in history? It's like, I imagine every country has this, it needs to be like a Tales for every single country out there.
We'll franchise it out.
We'll do it all, mate.
Yeah, do it quick before some other podcast tries to do it instead of you. Maybe we won't mention them right now.
Get me started.
Sorry. Trigger warning.
All right, that's the end of my one. Jack, do you want to hit us with yours?
Yeah, go on then. I've got one again. Something I never even knew was there. And this is an area of history that I really like. It's like the Celtic period, like Iron Age stuff. Again, never knew this happened. So this is about the Barry Island cairns, also known as the Cairns of Friars Point, if anyone's familiar with that location. These remnants of the Celts are on a rocky headland that juts out into the sea just next to Whitmore Bay. So it's like, I'm trying to think like directionally now. I'm not sure which north, southeast or west it is. But if you're on Whitmore Bay, the main beach in Barrie, for those who don't know, if you just head further down the coast, it's like a, almost like a cliff that juts out into the sea.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, before you get to the old harbour, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's the one. So, and also for those who don't know, a cairn is like a stack of stones, essentially. Celts, among other old civilizations in the world, they used to build them over the buried dead. Now, although the cairns prove the Celts lived on what would become Barrie Island, it was a Silius tribe as well, to be specific. They wouldn't usually be a burial site in a place that was so awkward to get to. So before the 19th century, when Barrie Docks was built, along with the causeway, that used to help. Once that was built, that held back the tide. Barrie Island at that point, like when the Celts were living there, it was separated from the mainland, so you would have actually have to got to get a boat to get across to there.
Oh, yeah.
And evidence suggests that the island itself was actually a sacred place for the Celts for a long, long time. And as we've mentioned before on this pod, the Celts, they had a big hard on for water. That was like they used to consider that like the spiritual connection, connection to the spiritual world. So it makes sense that like a high point on an island where you could see kind of sea all around you would be regarded as a sort of spiritual place.
Yeah, a good vantage point as well, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. So like you said, you could see over the sea, you could see anything coming. So it was, yeah, it had lots of reasons to be like kind of an important place to the Celts. But several iron and Bronze Age artifacts have been found around Friars Point, including urns, pottery fragments, stone tools and the like. But there was also lots of evidence of burning or things that have been burnt on or near where the cairns were. So it was also suggested, lots of historians have suggested rather, that this site was also used as a place to like light beacons in the night, sort of like a primitive lighthouse. Mm. They're not sure if that was to like warn off people, as in like, don't fucking come and land over here, or if it was like a careful, there's like this, yeah, careful, there's
sorry.
A human, just went, I'm bored to death, bored to tears.
I froze to death and fell.
I'm really, really sorry about that. I made a bit too much noise putting my can in the bin.
I just imagine you collapsing on the floor.
I thought you were about to say, no, mate, I'm not bored. I was just concentrating so hard, right? I just laid on the floor.
I'm making notes.
Yeah. So, sorry, I always say that. So it's like primitive lighthouse or like a warning type thing. Sadly, some of the cairns and the artifacts that are all up there, they were damaged because, like, you know, like you see in Jurassic Park with like the paleontologists, they excavate dinosaur bones by like brushing them ever so gently. Mm-hmm. Like it's a thing that takes months or whatever. Yeah. Back in like the 1800s, they didn't give a fuck about like preserving what they were digging up, you know? So they just dug a lot of the cairns out and all these different like artifacts, and like they'd have been in much better pristine condition if they were like found today. But anyway, you can actually go and still see the cairns to this day, but they're more like essentially bumps in the ground now at this point, like where the grass has grown over and all that sort of
but
stuff.
As you get into history, you realize like what you just think is the natural, like, you know, that's a divot or that's a mound.
Mm.
You realize there's loads of like Neolithic chambers and stuff. And I, even though it might look insignificant, like especially in like parts of southwest England, you have these massive hills that you think is just a hill, but it's an old Iron Age fort that's now been grown over.
Yeah.
I think it's quite cool to imagine there's like history and life under those mountains.
I tried to look at images of this. I even though I've, you know, spent a lot of time in Barrie, grew up like very close to it, I'd never heard of these things.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen them, but next time I'm down there, I'll definitely be looking for them.
I said I'm going to lure my wife down there.
Oh, sorry. When I go down there, I'll be looking for them. I'll be checking if you're right or not.
You can fucking believe it, bro, if I'm going down there.
And if I see them, I'll knock them smack out. Like,
if there's any fucking Celts down, if there's any fucking Silius down there, I'll be fucking having it, bro. But no, I was going to say, I'm going to lure my Mrs. down there and be like, oh, do you want to go to the arcades? And be like, joke, we're actually going to see like a tiny little mound on the floor that was to do a Celt.
Which I'll kiss.
But I looked at, yeah, which all kids and go and start praying at. But the I looked up images of these cairns, right? And they literally just look like tiny bumps in the ground. But there is slightly lighter coloured grass where the stones are,
right? Okay,
compared to the rest of the field. So like it almost looks like, you know, like a crop circle or something like that, mm. like something that's, it seems like it's very surreal. Mm. And it's, yeah, like you said, Franks, it's just because it's a little bump in the ground. It's like, once you know the significance, I don't know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can go see him today. You can go up onto the little, like the, what do you call it? I wouldn't call it a cliff, but like
yeah.
where it juts out and you can see them today. And there's, yeah, there's also like a, I can't think what it's called now. It's like a, it's not a hut. It's like a, it's called Friars Point House or something like that. And that's really old as well. So if you want to go touch some history, as we always say on this pod, go
yeah,
check it out.
I'll have a look next time I'm home. Mm. I'll go and, yeah, have a look at the little tiny mounds and yeah, probably and really go. Impress my missus with how boring I've become.
Well, I was about like, to say, if I end up do managing to convince my wife to come up there with me, she'll be like, they're just little bumps in the ground. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no respect for history.
You
have no
Why are you excited years? About that?
Yeah.
Do you want to go next for your next one, Sam?
Me, yeah. I have got two Ooh. More.
Well, here's your favourite.
I thought, yeah, I thought I'd just kind of, yeah, okay. I will go for, I'm going to not go for pirates, I think, because Ooh. Not that we've had too much.
Sam's
you can never
pirates.
Have too much pirates, but... basically, why Barry is now like it is, Barry, because of Barry Docks and stuff, not many people know like the significance of how important and massive it was at the time. So obviously Cardiff was huge, taking all the coal from the valleys. But Barry then became even bigger. So basically... During the 1880s, David Davis and other industrialists, they got a bit fed up because Cardiff, the Bute docks in Cardiff, were increasing the rate of coal. Right. So Barry Docks is actually called the dock that built dock built for a penny. Now, it wasn't actually built for a penny, obviously, but they raised the coal exports by 1 penny per tonne. So all the rail boys were just like, oh, nah, that's mental. We're going to do our own and make, you know, build our own. We'll just go to Barry. So, yeah, they went to Barry, made a whole new docks. All the coal from the Rhondda and, Davis's pits in the Rhondda went through there. And over 11 million tonnes of coal and coke. Insert cocaine joke there.
I was about to bite, but I thought, I was like, don't do it.
Passed through the port, and it was the biggest coal export in the world. So it held the record for over 11 million tonnes. There was a certain record. I haven't got it now. I can't find it. But basically, in 1 year, they beat the record of, you know, how much coal...
Yeah.
Went out of that one port in, I think it was in a day. So with that, obviously you need workers and people start moving in. Just like you've talked about Tiger Bay and all the, you know, the workers who came in to live there. But you did get a few sorts that moved into Barry then. And by the late 1880s, it was unsafe to be outside without protection, usually in the form of a gun, which surprised me when I read it. I was like, hang on a minute. That, you know,
like, for our American listeners and people who aren't, I mean, I think most people in Wales will know because of Gavin and Stacey, but Barry's got a bit of a reputation for being a bit rough and ready.
A little bit rough, yeah.
I didn't realise that it was quite so rough and ready until I read about these, obviously with people who work on the docks and, you know, delivering all this coal, you will get a couple of likely lads and they will want things like a drink or a woman. So yeah,
or a drinking woman, the best,
or a drinking woman. Yeah, well,
best,
this is
best of both worlds. Yeah.
Actually, this is the next thing I'm going to go on to. So, I was reading all these news articles, and the primary source of all the problems in Barry when it was rough and ready was alcohol. Everybody blames alcohol all the time. Yeah. It's just not.
It's just look inwards. Well,
I've never done a crime while I'm drunk. Therefore, alcohol's not the problem, right?
I actually
it's crims that the problem.
That said, like, alcohol and drugs aren't the problem. They're the solution. The problem is something deeper. You know, it's a societal issue. It's a personal issue. But that's usually someone's good excuse so they can do drugs and alcohol.
Well, that's very fresh coming from you on your alcohol-free beer.
Well, it's just like, you can hear this now, really. Can you hear this?
He's Sam, moved on.
Sam, I'm with you. I heard the clink of the ice. I was like, he's fallen to peer pressure instantly.
I said I'd finish my Heinies. I said I'd finish my... I've had four little tiddlers, and now I'm on the hard stuff.
As you realise the boys might not respect you, you went, oh, I'll drink my apple sours, I promise.
Apple sours.
We were going to have a conversation behind your back and be like, I didn't even drink on the podcast.
Take him to rehab.
Mate, I'm just glad you've switched over, because the comments would have just been, well, Frank's has changed. This is all, his whole mindset's gone. Yeah.
His mindset's weak.
We've lost him. The game's gone.
He's fallen for. He's gone woke, gone broke, isn't he? Yeah.
Hip dip, alcohol free bullshit. talking about women and drinking. The primary problem was alcohol. Doctors were frequently called to treat men in drunken fights every Saturday. Barry was home to a large number of unauthorized establishments known as shebeens. Now, this is a new term for me. Basically, it was a bit like, you know, one of these living rooms where people just serve beer and they're not supposed to. One of the things I read was Hotels de Mal. So it's basically, that was a pub that's not supposed to be a pub. But these shebeens as well, they would open on a Sunday and people would drink on a Sunday, which wasn't allowed.
That would have been legal at the time,
yeah. Yeah. But then, who said, I'm sure my dad actually went to Chepstow and then crossed the bridge into England at some point when he was younger, because you were allowed to drink on a Sunday in England, but not in Wales.
Yeah. Funnily enough, it's not now, but when this comes out, we'll have released an episode on like drinking in Wales, and we talk about how when abolitionists.
It was the first Wales only bit of legislation since the forming of the Union that Wales was the only place in the UK you couldn't drink on a Sunday. And it got repealed in like 1963. That slowly repealed in 1963. Then it went down to individual towns being able to like decide how, if they to vote on it. But Wales was like pious in how it didn't drink on Sundays. And
there was loads of people, if they were along the border on a Sunday, if they fancied a pint, they'd just nip over. gets lost and then come back type thing.
Yeah, that would definitely be me. I'd be like, well, come on, we're going all the way to flipping Banbury.
Right, boys, get on the bus, the Banbury bus.
Just make an excuse about watching local football or something.
Come on, love, the Puritans are playing again. You know I love the Puritans.
So yeah, these shebeens, apparently there was loads of them in like Caddoxton. And loads in Barry Dock. And the biggest thing that I couldn't believe it when I read it, it said women were frequently involved in running and drinking in them.
You're joking.
How dare they? A woman in a pub, not on my watch.
Go on, no.
Hip dip, woke bullshit again.
I was going to say, with this shebeen, what do you have like the etymology of that? We love a bit of etymology.
I think it's a mug full of whiskey in Irish. One thing that I read. Don't quote me on it.
Mate, I'll
I'm
take
trying
that.
To be accurate as possible, like you normally are.
You fact checked your sources and all that. Yeah. To be fair, if someone said to me, a shebeen is what the Irish call like a mug of ale. I go, yeah, sounds about right. Yeah, passes. Give us a shebeen, please, drive. Yeah, I'd take that.
I'm tempted to start using the words like kind of coming down a shebeen just to you know change the word for the pub. Are we shebeen in tomorrow or what?
It sounds like a word for being drunk. So like how the podcast go the other night? Me, Franks, and Sam, we were fucking shebeened.
Yeah, I stood in my garage, like, freezing cold, and got proper shebeened.
It worked especially well if you like lay on the Barry accent thick. Like, oh, fucking shebeened, mate.
Yeah, I might have to start using it properly. Right. Like,
three of us vow tonight. We got to implement it into our vocabulary. Yeah.
Hey, and you're going to be on the internet soon as well, so we'll use it on the website. And everything. Oh,
the possibilities are limitless, mate.
On the line. We'll just use it. There was just a lot of women running pubs, and it was just a couple of funny stories that I liked about the police were successful in effecting a seizure of a cask of beer and drinking utensils. Now, what do you use? A spoon? Like, what?
A ladle,
just sipping on, you know, a teaspoon at a time, and then I've lost my notes.
Those policemen then when they went like, commissioner, we've secured a keg and some drinking utensils, they might have had a pat on the back from their boss, right? But the locals would have been like, you fucking losers, taking our keg, taking our ladles for drinking.
I haven't got a spoon anymore.
Yeah, I haven't got my ladle, my drinking ladle.
My kids are
flipping
starving, they got to use their hands.
Yeah.
apparently there was loads of hookers and loads of illegal drinking.
Wow. You came into that room. Anyway, hookers.
reputable blog. Rowdyism of some kind or another is daily, almost hourly occurring. It is well known that brothels exist under our very eyes without the slightest restraint.
I'm stealing rowdyism as well.
Is a great word.
Texting in the boys group going, would you like to engage in some rowdyism this weekend?
Perhaps a shebeen?
Perchance we'll have some rowdyism at the shebeen?
Definitely, yes. But next time we go for a drink, we're going to have some rowdyism in a shebeen.
Let's do it.
There was bogus clubs and all sorts, and it just made me think, has Barry changed that much since when I was living there? But then I thought there was a story about a woman taken to Barry Central Police Station in a wheelbarrow.
Nice.
Because she was drunk. And I thought, I might have to get a wheelbarrow just in case, if my missus has a couple of glasses of vino and gets shebeened next time we go out.
Yeah, exactly. You can't always plan for someone not getting shebeened. You need some alternative
arrangements.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not going to walk on your feet like a mug, are you? Just chuck yourself in the wheelbarrow.
If I could get wheelbarrowed back home next time I go out, then I'll take that.
Shebeened, I'd pretend to be quite shebeened to be like, oh, I can't walk. Chuck me in the barrow.
He was so shebeened, he got barrowed home.
If that's your one done, Sam, I've got an actual. There's a link here to my next bit. If you don't mind me jumping ahead, you crack on. So, because as I mentioned earlier. When Franco said what you were doing, I was like, "Oh, St. Barak, he's been taken off the table." And I was like, "All the big hitters," because Frank told me what he was doing as well. I was like, oh, "What can I do?" So I was looking desperately to find like, "Well, oh, what's the next like subject I can cover, like Barry Island, Barry, and all this." And I started looking for like, you know, odd news stories. I noticed a few like run of the mill crime based stories that weren't like so. It wasn't interesting enough to bother with. And then I found a thread on Reddit, right? Someone had put up a question. Basically, they were moving to Barry. They were thinking of moving to Barry, and they asked the question. They put it in the Wales subreddit. It said, people of Barry, it was like, I'm considering moving or whatever. I'm from like mid Wales, kind of really rural, you know, no crime, whatever. But I've heard really bad things about Barry, like, you know, lots of criminality and whatever. And can anyone, you know, give me some advice? Is it really as bad as I've seen online? And I found this absolute gem of a comment that led me down this garden path. And I decided, right, I'm going to study the criminal element of Barry. And just FYI, this is mostly for, like I said, it's Barry as a whole, as opposed to just Barry Island, but bear with me. Most responses were very measured and, you know, sort of balanced and said, yeah, you know, like any place, there's nice places, there's rough places, like any town or city. But I saw a response from a guy called LawB1, and he had this to say. A lot of heroin and cocaine in Barry. Huge alcoholic community. And unemployment is pretty high too. Stabbings most weeks also. Most of the town centre is boarded up. The people that live there are very odd. Sex offenders register has 795 people registered that live in Barry. Car insurance and house insurance costs are very high. We're trying to sell a house to move, but house prices are so low here, it's difficult. Even thinking of taking a loss if it means we can get out quick. Jesus. Worst decision of our lives moving to Barry. Hope this helps. There was a response from a user called CS88888. He replied with, drugs and alcohol are rife across the country, in case you hadn't noticed, and stabbings most weeks. That's... get a grip.
Yeah, that and then
a response to the response to the response then from a guy called Velo Bill said, Barry is a particularly bad example, full of tattooed fat scumbags who should be avoided at all costs.
Wow.
That's absolute vicious, taking down a Barry. And then another commentator, I scrolled a bit further down, I thought, not going to top that. But this guy called SGPHOCF, on the same thread, he said, he had something else to say on the subject, and he said, I would generally avoid Barry if you could. Far too many nice areas. I think the responses that Barry is a mixed bag are being far too kind. Also interesting that some people are saying that Caddiston is okay, but to avoid the new builds because they're soulless. Give me a fucking break. I'd rather live in a smaller house than be stabbed and have my car set on fire.
This sounds like a lie. This is not like Barry.
Damning things of Barry.
Caddiston is a bit rough, but I have such good memories of Barry. Like, I was thinking earlier, trying to put a list together of such a fun place to go to school and grow up. Like, do you remember the old College Inn, which is like a pub, like not too far from us?
Yeah, that's a nice pub.
Yeah, they used to do giant fish fingers, and in my head, they're like 30 centimeters long. And I was like, this is heaven. Yeah. But I bet if I went there now, I'd be underwhelmed. But I think
out of the blue, I only ever got started on in Barry out of the blue once, I think.
I've had a lot of fights pretty good. Barry. I had one fight where I was just...
It's not that bad, guys, honestly. Oh, I've had loads of fights.
But it was, you know, you're teenagers. Kind of, but one time, we were at a 6-1
thing
party.
Is, if you're hard as fucking nails as well, you draw the fucking...
Yeah, they want to take on the big dog. I remember I was at this one... We were at like a 6-1 party, and like I was dressed up like a member of the Mafia with one of those stupid little hats, you know, like a little dweeby hat and a Tommy gun that fired silly string. And
I can just imagine. You come to me on my son's birthday.
And it was in like this cons club. It wasn't a cons club, but it was like some like social hall above near the shipping, you know, the ship pub down just before you get to the island.
Oh yeah, the old Hungry Horse, as it's called.
And I got into a fight with a boy who didn't go to our school, he went to Barry Boys. And during the fight, my Tommy gun fell, and out of the holster it broke, and I was so good. I had like this holster on me, and my Tommy gun fell on the floor with the silly spring, and it just burst and broke everywhere. I was genuinely so gutted because it was such a cool little affectation to have.
I thought you were going to say, like, it fell on the floor and fired, you know, like when you see in films where they drop the gun, it goes boom.
And I went through Google Maps looking at places we used to go on lunchtime. Like, we used to go to outside Cwm Talwg, we'd go to the Chinese there, Chopsticks, and like Romley Park and the Knapp and Porthcawl Park. And I was hit with such like reverie. Like, I love it there.
It is a great place.
I don't believe what LawB1 is saying, right?
Stabbing. I'm trying to work out. I'm trying to work out why he would say something like that. Yeah. Like, is he the mayor of Barry, and there's too many people there, or
he's trying to slander it.
Yeah, this leads me into my line of inquiry, right? So after seeing these outlandish comments, which I assume are bias info, yeah. right? It had me wondering, how bad is Barry for crime? So I looked at the latest stats, and Barry is, and I quote now, the most dangerous medium-sized town in the county of South Glamorgan. And that, to me, is like so many qualifiers.
Yeah,
you know,
so,
like how we say,
so many.
You know, how we say that. You know how we say, like, The Rock goes, like, yeah. it's the best show on a quarter yeah. moon in the Sagittarius
Dwayne
zodiac
the Rock Johnson
on,
will
in
post
2021. You know,
it's like, oh, Ballers Tonight was the most watched show for a 30-minute show that's based on a Tuesday in yeah. the Asian market. And it's always like 100 caveats yeah. to be like,
and that's what I was like when I was reading this. When I was reading this quote, I was like, fucking hell, how many qualifiers do you need like, to justify it? And this was on, like, dare I say, an official website. Mm. It basically collaborates. What's the word when you pull something together?
Corroborates.
Corroborates, yeah.
Consolidates?
I don't know. Consolidates crime stats. Consolidates crime stats. The other thing it said was it was the 710th most dangerous location in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. And I was like, 710th? I was like, that's not even yeah. in the 720th, for God's sake.
How many places are there?
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. If I stand in the field in the middle of Merthyr or something like that, what, is this a place? Is this one of the places?
It reminds me of 60% of the time, it works every time.
Every like, time, baby, yeah. Yeah, out of 710 of locations, it was a 710th dangerous one, baby.
It does get a bit of a hard rap for a bit unfair, right?
I think it's just the same as anywhere. There's bad places, you know, there's rough
areas.
It's
a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag, like every bloody way. So I looked into this deeper and I was like, right, let's try and get some stats and facts. We're all about being really on the ball and statistically accurate on this pod. So this sounds like it's going to turn a bit bad now, but the most common crimes in Barry.
You always take it down a route that seems so depressing, and I hope this will be like rape or something.
Yeah, well,
if it is, well, just don't do it. Like, it's supposed to be a funny
it's
podcast.
It's not rape. It's not rape.
Well, I think what we've got here is a case of good cop, bad cop within your yeah. podcast.
But Jack always does these weird avenues where it goes sad.
Yeah, but he's got to do it because, you know, otherwise the real hard-hitting questions won't get answered.
I've written a joke and the setup requires this, so, you know, you got to bear with me. Basically, the most common crime in Barry, apparently, is violence and sexual offences. Yes,
oh, hilarious.
You called it, all right, yeah, yeah. yeah. The least common is bicycle theft, right?
Ah.
That was thing, right? Shoplifting is 6 times more likely in Barry than the national average. So all in all, if you live in Barry, statistically, you are a thieving Aggie pervert, and that is a fact.
Without
so
a bike.
What is that? Without a break, yeah. I know Franks is fuming at that.
Just
he's had his one bloody apple bloody whiskey and he's not
the avenues you always go down are so depressing. You did it. What was the thing you did the other day where it's like, you said
the
something.
Facts are the facts, man.
Yeah. But sometimes the
I'm
facts
sorry.
Need to...
It's I'm the sorry, research. Barry is a perverted crime den, all right?
What did
that
you do
is,
the other
that
day?
Is just it.
One of the other episodes, it was like, oh, I can't remember what it was, but it's like it just leaves me feeling sad at the end of the story.
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe I told the truth and it was too much, mate.
Yeah,
what do you reckon? Yeah.
Is this the conclusion of this podcast that Barry is full of rapey, walking
no.
shoplifters?
Because there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? Basically, this website I found, I was looking more and more into it, and it is very much, it's not like an official statistician's thing, like a bloody government agency or something like that. It's very much a private website, right? And I was like, oh, so... this doesn't mean anything really. Like I personally wouldn't just because someone told me a fact or a stat, I wouldn't just believe it.
I mean, that's the whole basis of
like
our
fact.
Podcast.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
at
no,
least
the
you
truth.
Know, listen, Wikipedia has sources, right? If I bothered to click on them, I could see where they came from. But yeah, that's my little bit on Barry and crime. Sorry to have soured the night.
So have we worked out that this guy was absolutely not true, not right in what he was saying, or not? Have I come from a scummy, scummy, horrible town?
Mate, I think it's safe to say that just because you lived in Barry, you're not a perverted Aggie shoplifter. I think you're okay. You're fine.
Well, I've got a bike, so does that make any difference?
Did you steal it?
No.
That's the question.
Yeah, well it is, I haven't it had one it stolen.
It is the least popular crime there, so chances are no, you're fine.
My last one is slightly more, I'd say, probably appropriate for inviting a guest on to talk about Barry, and it's about two swans, which is how nice and quaint is that? And it's first published in 1901 by Mary Treble.
This just worked out nicely.
I was going to say, here he is, good cop.
Yeah. So
that's right. Let's not live in the real world, boys. Let's go back to the fluffy swan shit.
There's no mention of sex offenders or real life tragedy in mine. I'll try. And
what about bikes?
No, but I might be able to crowbar a bike in, actually.
Chuck a bike in. Yeah, chuck a bike in.
So this was first published in 1901 by Marie Trevelyan, and it's a book called Folklore and Folk Stories of Wales. Though it's meant to be based in around the 17th century, about two best pals, one a young lad from Roos and the other from Caddickston. They're two salt-of-the-earth labourers on the farmland. So for those who don't know, we kind of like described these places already, but Roos is a bit posher, especially back in the day. It was a little bit more tweed and a bit more well-to-do, and it was a bit more like farmery posher.
That's a bit maddening to think, like, with today's context, because I don't particularly consider Roos posh these days.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. But apparently back then it was a bit more like, if you were from Roos, you were a bit wealthier and
new money, like new, it was the new hotness on the scene.
Well, I think people who, like, Barry's always been quite, like, hardworking. So I think if you're, like, especially Caddickston, so Caddickston, in this time, it was defined as being a bit rough and ready, like we mentioned. And I think the reason they've chose these two characters, one being like, "Oh, I'm the posh from Roos," and "I'm the Caddickston boy." when I was at Caddickston, I was at Caddy train station once, and there was a bunch of scary yobs, and this like grown man had a cone of chips, and they just ran past. They didn't run past. They walked past and slapped the chips out of his hand, and the man just accepted it and went back into the chip shop and get it. You know, it was a really. I didn't like waiting at that train station. To get the idea that the lads of the story, one of them is a bit naughty. He's like Danny Dyler, a little bit naughty, a little bit tasty. You know what I mean? He's like one of those kind of people, and then one's a bit more well-to-do. But they were both like really good mates, and after working the farm all day, they were considering the pints that lay before them after work, and then they saw these two huge swans jet overhead, flying down to Jackson's Bay. And the two lads weren't used to seeing swans, so they were like, "Fuck, we got to go catch a glimpse of these warlocks," which really speaks volumes of just how shit and boring the past truly was. Like when two swans flying is enough to make you down tools and sprint off, it's a pretty grim affair.
Mind you, we have just had a conversation about going to have a look at little mounds on Friars
very
Point.
True.
So
very good.
I got to catch a clip of those cairns. Come on,
see these bad boys.
So they scrabbled across Barry and made it to Jackson Bay, where they saw these two swans glide elegantly onto the water. But this wouldn't be much of a story if the swans stayed simply as swans. But no, they turned into beautiful, stark, naked, gorgeous girls of their dreams. And they were like apparently the perfect girls for them. And you remember the book Animorphs? And like it had on the cover of the books, you'd have like a boy turned into a horse. If you Google it, you'll know what I mean. This is like the original.
Animal or a full time flanimal. Yeah.
This is like the OG Animorphs or Animilfs, if you will. They were slightly different tradition.
Oh, nice. Very good.
These didn't turn seamlessly into swans, though. They more unfurled from their swan wings and revealed their human bodies underneath. And they actually unplugged their wings from their arms and then put them to a side. And now the lad from Roos was just happy to see them from afar, but our Caddickston lad was like, "Nah, I'm not content with this." So he convinced the Roos lad to help him abseil down the cliff for the edge where they were both perched and to sneak up on the bathing babes. And then they pinched the feathers, and the babes came running out, all jiggling and whatnot. And it's, I've gone Hollyoaks after dark.
Jiggling and whatnot.
And they approached the men.
I was going to say, you're like Patrick Stewart in Extras. I've seen everything.
Too late, but then I've seen everything. And as they approached the men, they begged for their wings back. But the man from Caddickston refused. And he said, "You must marry us, or we'll tell everyone what you are, giant swan hags." So the poor swan ladies succumbed to their fear of the wrath of the townsfolk. We're like, right, we will marry you then, as long as we can get our wings back eventually. And the swan went with the Caddickston man. She had quite a sad life. She didn't really care for him, and he kept being confined. He kept being a bit of a drunk. He wouldn't let her see the wings. He was being he wasn't awfully horrible, but he was still not letting this woman be free. So in a bittersweet moment, as the man from Caddickston, every time I say Caddickston, I keep thinking of Kazakhstan, and I keep thinking of, very nice, yes, from Ash.
That's what I used to call it when I lived there. We've got to go through Kazakhstan.
Anyway, the man from Kazakhstan was getting boozy and was getting quite embarrassing. And our swan lady snuck off to avoid his boorish ways. But as she did snuck off, she got hit by a horse and carriage going down Broad Street, and she got killed there and then. And I say bittersweet, because as she lay dying, her body morphed slowly back into the swan right in front of these confused onlookers, and she took flight above Barry, so she was back to being free. Now, on the other hand, the swan that married the man from Roos, they had a harmonious life, and they worked on the farm together, and they enjoyed each other's company. They even had children. But then one day, when the Roos farmer felt like he no longer needed the wings, dusted up his house, he was going to throw them in the trash. And as his wife then, she didn't notice he'd done this, and as she was taking them out, she saw them there, perched in this bin. And it was innate within her for a desire to be truly free again. And despite the happy life, happy marriage, happy kids, the yearning to be free overcame her, and she plugged them back in as she took flight into the night sky and was never seen again. And this is just a folk story. Unlike legends, there's no real basis of truth. They're simply there to entertain. Yeah. So this is meant to be an entertaining story, which again shows how fucking boring the past must have been if this is as good as
I was going to say, what does it mean?
The innate desire to be free or don't get the bloke.
Don't be a swan. don't be from Caddickston.
That's what I think.
This was the fucking MCU of the day. Like, you know what I mean? They were all going rather than Marvel, it was the swans. You hear the tale about the swans? Oh,
well, one thing, apparently, so in this story, apparently after this happened, they said, you'll notice a lot of people in Barry have long necks, and that's because they stem from the children who had the swan wife couple. So they believe the lots of boys around the Barry.
The old long necks, the old swan neck boys.
This story feels like it's written from someone who either lived or liked Roos, hated Caddickston, and thought there were a lot of long neck freaks in Barry about.
Basically, if you move to Roos, lads, it'd be fucking apples and oranges, be great. If you stay in Barry, you'll have loads of long neck kids and you'll hate your life.
Was this written on Reddit? Or was
that's it. And that was from a guy called Sweeney216.
This is from Vale Glamorgan historian Graham Lovelock Edwards, who has a bunch of cool stories about where we're from in the Vale. So you can do lots of, he's actually got quite a cool little website, but I thought Lovelock was quite a sexy name. They call me Lovelock, baby.
He's changed that by Depot. And his name was Lewis or somebody. He went, James Lovelock, baby.
James Lovelock.
He's got a driver's license just as Lovelock, straight Lovelock.
Yeah, he's got the and also that was my last bit. I mentioned the long-necked freaks, haven't I? Because I've never noticed any long necks, but apparently that was
maybe one or two. I couldn't say they were all descended from swans.
So that's our roundup of Big Barry Massive, a place dear to all our hearts. The link to buying the merch, which helps the pod keep the lights on and supports Welsh businesses, is in the bio, and we'd very much appreciate your support. And another massive deal about it, Sam. You're a very funny chap, mate. Well done. Congratulations.
Yes, I do try. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're a right good laugh there.
We appreciate you freezing yourself to death in your garage.
I really wish.
I'm partaking.
Sometimes people say we should do videos of this, but we're always a bit too scared. But the way when you came on the camera, you had a... bomber jacket on. You had your beanie hat on. You looked. You had a massive beard. You looked like you'd been in Antarctica for about a month, and you were shivering. Yeah.
You were like a Sherpa. Mate, like going, I can lead you up Kilimanjaro. Yeah. No problem, type thing.
About half an hour in, I was genuinely like, "Fuck, I've got to do something about this." Yeah, you thought that I was gone.
Hyperthermia has taken him. Yeah.
When I was chatting shit about the Chabines and I was looking through my notes thinking, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Your eyesight started getting fuzzy.
I was genuinely cold. Like,
All right. Diolch yn gwrando pawb. Thanks both to Jack and Sam. Oh, and you can find Sam's stuff. We'll put this in all the notes as well, but you can find all the Sam's socials. We'll put it all on our socials in the notes itself. Diolch yn gwrando. Catch you all soon. Right. Ta-da.
Diolch pawb. Ta-da. We've got
no doubt. Too deep in love and we got no way out. And the message is clear. This could be the year for the real thing. No more will you cry. Baby, I will hurt you never. We start as